So I want to talk about the 23rd Psalm tonight. It's perhaps one of the best love passages of Scripture. Many of you have it memorized, I'm sure. We often use it in times of stress and sorrow, but also in times of thanksgiving. And seeing as Thanksgiving was just a couple of days ago, hopefully you're not still full. You're probably still eating turkey leftovers, maybe. I want us to look at this psalm, and I want us to look at three wonderful reasons that we're to be thankful to God for through this psalm. And I'm going to read from the King James Version in this psalm, because I like the context better than any other version. So let's read this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that great?
Yes.
So it begins with, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I think that as soon as we read that, we should sit up and take notice, because you know what? Who doesn't want? All of us want something, right? Christmas is coming. We all have a want. And it's not normal for us not to want. But this says, I shall not want. I want to read these words by Jason Lehman. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted, the warm days and great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted, the colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted, the beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted, the warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted, the freedom and the respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted, to be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted, the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted, the presence of mind without limitations. Then my life was over, and I never got what I wanted. Sound familiar? We always want something else, right? We get what we want, and then we want something else. Many people are never satisfied. You know people like that. They're never happy. There's always something to complain about. And we live in this age of discontent. We're always wanting. We're always needing. And almost everybody wants more. I don't have enough. I want more of this. I want more of that. A little child wants more toys, right? They never have enough toys. And more television time. They can't watch enough TV. A teenager wants more freedom and more popularity. And adults want more possessions and more possessions and more possessions. And more leisure time, and less work time. And as we age, we want more health, and more friends, and more loyalty from our children. We always want more. We never seem to have enough. But listen to the words of Apostle Paul in Philippians. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether having in plenty or in want. Man, to be that way, right? Obviously, God wants us to be happy, satisfied people. He wants us to be content. And we shouldn't be restless and jealous, always complaining about what we don't have, always envying and coveting the things that others have. There should be such a spirit of thankfulness in our hearts that brands us to belonging to God, that separates us from the world. People should see how thankful we are to God and know that we belong to Him, know that we're God's children because we are thankful. So again, with Psalm 23 in mind, we're going to look at three main things. Is it moving? No. There we go. So we can be thankful because in life, the Good Shepherd gives us what we want. So frequently in the Bible, we hear humans are being compared to sheep. Now that sounds nice, but but it's not necessarily nice. It's not a good thing, maybe. Sheep are among the dumbest and the dirtiest animals in the world. They, we can look at what Isaiah says here. We like sheep, have all gone astray. And he's not saying that's good. He's saying that's a bad thing. We've all gone astray. And that's because us humans are sometimes just about the same level as sheep. When Jesus looked on the people with compassion, the gospel writer said that he saw them like sheep without a shepherd. We can see here in Matthew, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That's not a compliment either, but a concern that Jesus had. Because sheep are so helpless when we're all alone. And Philip Keller was a rancher, and he wrote a book, Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. And so he talks a little bit about sheep. He says that sheep require more attention than any other livestock. They can't just take care of themselves. Unless the shepherd makes them move to new pasture, they'll continue eating every blade of grass until they're down to dirt, until everything is gone, nothing but barren soil. Sheep are very nearsighted, they're very stubborn, but they're also easily frightened. They can jump and run at the sound of a noise, or they can be stampeded by a rabbit even. They have little means of defense. Their minds, or they're timid, they're feeble creatures, and their only recourse is to run. So if there's anything that a sheep hears or sees that's out of the norm, it runs. And especially if there's no shepherd there to protect them. Sheep have no homing instincts. Like a bird or a dog or a horse, they can find their way home, but when a sheep gets lost, it's lost. It's out there for good until someone goes and finds it. So one overriding principle of this 23rd Psalm is that sheep can't make it without a shepherd. We need the shepherd. It's that sheep, and that's the only reason David could say, "I shall not want," was because he had a shepherd. It's because the Lord, David could first say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So we as sheep, Donna, are dumb. Right? We never learn our lesson, do we? We say, "This is the last drink I'm going to take," but guess what? We end up drinking again. We say, "It's the last lie I'm going to tell," and guess what? We tell another lie. And we're never going to do this again, but we find ourselves doing it over and over. I said I'd never go here again, but guess what? I ended up here again. Again and again and again. And so let's see what David says about the good shepherd and what he does for his sheep. In verse 2, it says, "He maketh me lie down in green pastures." If the shepherd leads his sheep to a lush pasture where they have plenty to eat and their stomachs are full, they become content. This is a picture when you look at it. He makes me lie down in green pastures, of sheep being completely satisfied, that there isn't a desire for anything else. They have no desire beyond that. The sheep is so content that he lies down in the pasture. And the Lord provides us in our lives with plenty. We may not think so, but he provides us with plenty. And we have so much sometimes, and we think about food, that dieting is always something that we're trying to do, or something that we always talk about trying to do. But look again what David said, he makes me lie down in green pastures. And sometimes we have to be forced to lie down. Sometimes we don't want to lie down. And again, Keller talked about sheep in his book, and he said that there's four things that sheep need in order to lie down. Number one is they have to be full. They can't be hungry. Hungry sheep stay on their feet, continuing to search for food until they have their stomachs full. Second, they have to be unafraid. Sheep will not lie down if they're fearful. If they hear a noise or they see a wolf or a bear, they're going to stand and be ready to run. Third, they have to be content. If sheep have flies or fleas bothering them, they're not going to lie down. If they have, if there's unharmony in the flock, if they're fighting among the flock, they're not going to lie down. And that's the final point, that sheep must have harmony in the flock. If there's friction or butting over the head sheep among them, they're simply not going to relax and lie down. So it says that he makes them lie down. So he has to make sure that all of these things are met in order for those sheep to lie down. And once in a while, he makes us lie down. And sometimes we're not happy about it. We rush about. We try to meet this engagement. We try to go here and meet that obligation. We hurry and scurry like crazy sheep. And we tend to miss things that are probably more important than the things that we actually do. So once in a while, God has to say, you need to lie down. And sometimes he allows illness or heartbreak in our lives to force us to lie down, to make us to stop and reevaluate our priorities. And then David says, he leadeth me beside still waters. Sheep are frightened of moving water. They won't go up to a running stream and drink from the stream. They're poor swimmers. Imagine jumping into the water with all that wool and trying to swim. Put a wool coat on and go jump in the river and see how well you swim. They get bogged down with that heavy wool. But when the shepherd comes to a flowing stream, he doesn't force them to drink out of the stream. A good shepherd builds a dam upstream, and so there's a calm pool of water that his sheep can drink from. God knows our weaknesses. He leads us beside quiet waters. He promises to protect us from the temptations of this world that we can't handle, and he never will force us into a situation in which we can't cope. And that's what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide you a way out so that you can endure it. He'll always provide us a way out. David says the same thing in a sense in the 32nd Psalm. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. So back in the 23rd Psalm, he restoreth my soul. A lost sheep can't find its way home. Once it wanders off from the flock, it's gone. And so the shepherd has to restore that stray. He may have to go after that one sheep, or it'll be lost forever. It won't find its way back. And there's a story about a little boy working in his parents' carpentry shop in Jerusalem, and he protests his chore. They make crosses in Jerusalem, so his family was building crosses, and he was to help his parents build these crosses. And because Rome had given them a contract to build crosses, the construction of crosses. And in the second scene of this play, the boy is weeping and his parents are asking him what's wrong. And he responds, I went to the marketplace and I saw Jesus of Nazareth, the man we love to hear speak, and he was carrying our cross. And they took him to Golgotha and they nailed him to my cross. And the parents insisted, oh no, son, that wasn't our cross. There's other people in Jerusalem building crosses. That wasn't our cross. And he said, oh yes, it was. When you weren't looking, I carved my name on the cross that we were making. And when Jesus was carrying his cross, he stumbled right beside me, and I looked, and my name was written on his cross. And my name was written on his cross, and your name was written on his cross. He died in our place. He went to the cross to restore our souls. And that's why the Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep gone astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And David continues on in Psalm 23, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. A careless shepherd may take his sheep along a rocky cliff, or by a cliff where the sheep could fall. But a caring shepherd is going to take his sheep through paths that are safe. And the Bible clearly teaches us that there's two paths that we can take. One leads to destruction, and Satan tries to lead us along that path. We can look at it, and it's a broad, smooth road. It seems the logical way to go. For us, it's the easy way out, right? The other path is the path of righteousness, and that leads to the glory that God is preparing for us. Sometimes that way is narrow, and sometimes it's steep, and sometimes it's hard to go on that path. It can be filled with obstacles, but the Good Shepherd knows which way to lead his sheep and which way his sheep are to go. And so he leads us on that path of righteousness. So the first thing, again, for us to be thankful for is that we cannot... Did I go way ahead of myself? We can be thankful because in this life the Good Shepherd gives us all we want. The second thing is we can be thankful because in the face of death the Good Shepherd protects us from evil. In Psalm 23 again, David says, Yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death. It's not a tongue twister. The fear of death really can be disturbing to people. In Hebrews it says all their lives are held in slavery by their fear of death. The Bible clearly states that death is Satan's weapon, and that's the last enemy to be defeated. But again, David says in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." I got it. Why? He says, "But why? Because you are with me. For thou art with me." Psalm 23, we just read that. And so I'm convinced that when death roars its worst at us, we shouldn't fear. We don't have to fear, for our Savior is with us. God is with us during that time. Whether we brush the edge of the valley or we actually enter and walk through it, He promises that He's going to be there with us. In fact, David goes on to say, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." So not only is the promise of peace and protection with us while we're alive, He also promises that at the moment Satan is doing the worst to us in death, God is preparing a welcoming feast for us in heaven. What a picture of victory that gives us. So when you pause to think about what to be thankful for, again, be thankful that be thankful and thank God that in the time of death, the Good Shepherd promises protection from evil. And finally, at the judgment, the Good Shepherd promises eternal life. He not only takes care of his sheep in this life, he'll take care of them in the next as well. Again, we'll finish Psalm 23. "Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Again, what a picture that we're going to dwell with God forever. When we stand before God on the judgment, His mercy is going to be there. If God gave us true justice, we'd be punished for our disobedience. But because of Jesus, we have confidence in His mercy. God doesn't just save us and then lets us be. He's with us throughout our lives. He's there in every situation, regardless of if we're being obedient or we're being disobedient. He has His hand upon us throughout our lives. His mercies and grace are new every day. There's nothing that we can do for Him not to love us. His love is unconditional. So when we sin, do we try to justify it? "I couldn't help it. It's not my fault. It's the devil made me do it. It's my neighbor's fault. If I wouldn't have gone here, I would have been able to avoid that. My wife made me do it." I use that one a lot. But what we're supposed to do is we're supposed... She's not here, so... Yeah. But the attitude that we should have is, "I'm sorry, Lord. I messed up. Please forgive me. Give me the strength to overcome again. Help me not to fail again in the future." So when you come to church on Saturday evenings and you hear about the goodness and the mercy of God, are you just in this nonchalant attitude and you approach Him and say, "By the way, God, thanks. Have a nice night," and we leave? Or are you going to embrace Him and love Him and thank Him for being so understanding and so forgiving of all the things that we've done in our lives. Thank Him for His never-ending grace and never-ending mercy. Praise Him from the depths of your heart. This evening, if the Lord is not your shepherd, then I want you to know that He's come looking for lost sheep. He's always looking for lost sheep. And if you can't find your way home, He's going to lead you back home. And He'll redeem you from all your sins. He'll put you on a path of righteousness. And He'll cause your cup to run over. And goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And one day, and hopefully very soon, and not too far away, I think we'll all be in the house dwelling together with the Lord forever. Are we ready for that?
Oh, yeah.
If you're not ready, I urge you to ask someone to pray with you in a moment. If you're ready or not, be thankful. Be thankful that the Good Shepherd gives us all we need. In the face of death, the Good Shepherd protects us from evil. And at the judgment, the Good Shepherd promises eternal life. As I close in prayer, I want you to find someone tonight and pray with them. I want you to ask them to pray for a need that you may have in your life. Or pray a prayer of thanksgiving for the blessings that God's provided you with. But find somebody tonight to pray with when I'm finished. Lord God, we're just so thankful that You are a shepherd, Lord. And we're thankful for this 23rd Psalm, Lord, and the picture that David gives us, Lord, of who You are in our lives, Lord. Lord, and yes, we are dumb sheep. Lord, and as we live our lives, even as Christians, we make mistakes. Lord, and those mistakes are things that we can avoid, Lord, but we just seem to keep stumbling back sometimes on the same things, Lord, that we need to overcome. Lord, give us the strength and the courage and the wisdom to overcome those things in our lives, Lord. Lord, and we're so thankful for Your grace and Your mercy that You gave us at the time of salvation, Lord, and that You continue to give us each day that we live, Lord. We know that when we get up in the morning, Your mercies are new every day. Your grace is new every day, Lord. And help us to live in that. Help us to live knowing that Your mercy is new every day and that Your grace is new every day, Lord. And that will help us to be content. That will help us not have the wants, Lord, of the world. Help us to have the desires, Lord, to just be content in You. Lord, not to look for worldly things or worldly pleasures to satisfy our soul, Lord, but to let You satisfy our souls. Lord, we're so thankful that we can look to You for all the needs in our lives, Lord, and You'll meet them. Lord, I'm so thankful for each one here tonight, Lord, and as we come together and pray, Lord, I pray You touch each one. Lord, let them pray from their heart for each other, Lord, and just bless them throughout this week in Your name. Amen. So find somebody to pray with for a moment. Again, if you have a need, share your need, or just pray a prayer of thanksgiving.